And joining me right here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest on Orlando Magic playoff basketball. That's right. This guy does a great job with the radio and TV. He's my good friend, Dante Marcatelli. Dante, how you doing today?
Well, Mark, I'm doing really good now. They made things very interesting here down the stretch, but they did what they had to do. The Magic won yesterday and clinched a playoff spot, fifth seed in the playoffs, and headed to Cleveland, Ohio to take on the Cavs. It's been 4 years since the Magic were in the postseason, 5 years since they were in the playoffs that didn't involve the bubble. So Magic fans, needless to say, are very, very excited for that outcome.
How did they get the win against Milwaukee yesterday?
Well, they did it on the defensive end. I mean, that was absolutely smothering defense. The game started slow, and you can imagine the kind of some nerves, guys a little tight, guys a little worked up, anxious. So the offense wasn't there. In fact, right away, I think it was 11-2, Milwaukee. They just came out making everything. And then Coach Mosley, like he does all year, Mark, he just settled them down. He called a timeout, and he said, listen, they only have 4 threes, and it feels like they have 10. He goes, just relax. He goes, we're way overreacting to whatever they do offensively. Just settle down, and your shots are going to fall. You have to. We turn this game around on the defensive end, and that's been our calling card all year. So he kind of always has a way of calming them down, pushing the right buttons, and then they came out, rattled off a 6-0 run, and ended up taking the lead and never looked back. So just an unbelievable effort. The last 7 minutes of the second quarter, Mark, were probably the best defensive series of the season. Phenomenal how they locked everybody up and then ended up getting a double-digit lead and never gave it back.
Okay, I have to clarify this. So Dante does a great job where he does the pre- and post-game on TV. Then during the game, he's a sideline reporter. So he just told us what was said during that timeout. How can you even hear anything in that building?
Well, because Coach Mosley, I know it was loud. I mean, you know, it was so loud in there yesterday.
Yeah.
Fans were so excited. But there was a lot of excitement, but there was a lot, and you can vouch for this. Yeah. There was a lot of nervous energy
in
that building, right? Knowing what was at stake. Like, people were amped up, and then, you know, when the Magic started slow and cold, there was a lot of sitting on hands, and, all right, let's get something going here, And then the fans just needed to see one thing, you know, one steal, one dunk, one three. And then that building was electric and never looked back. I mean, that thing was so loud. But I've gotten used to kind of following Coach Mosley's cadence now in year three, and I can get pretty close. I kind of stand there where the coaches stand, and I can stick my head in there. But he yells, and he yells because he has to yell loud enough to get over the crowd. And he's great. And everything that he says is right on. And the guys lock in. And they took off. And I thought Gary Harris, you know, at the start of the fourth quarter, kind of huddled everyone in and said, you know, basically told them the whole season comes down to this. This is what we've worked so hard for, is for this moment right here. Don't give anything back here in the fourth quarter. Like, at the time, it was an 11-point lead. Let's grow it. Never let that lead get under 11. I thought that was great, to kind of calm those guys down, and that's what they did. They ended up getting it up as high as 30. It was just a great moment yesterday in the building.
There was a moment there where stuff turns into DJ stuff, and they're playing music so loud. It's awesome for the fans. I imagine you have one of those, like, you're on a movie set, one of those boom mics, trying to get in there listening. I get it. It was wild, and it needed to be yesterday. Let's bring up the coaching decision then by Coach Mosley, where he starts Jonathan Isaac, second start of the season. How big was that for the Magic yesterday?
Oh, I thought it was huge, and I thought he did a great job of explaining that postgame. You know, if you don't know the status of Wendell, who's been battling a sore back and could only play 4 minutes in that game in Philadelphia, then, you know, it's tough to wait till the last minute before the game, let Wendell make the decision whether he can play or not, and then tell Jonathan Isaac at that moment, okay, you're starting. Not that he can't do it, not that he wouldn't be ready, but if you tell a guy 2 days ahead of time you're starting no matter what, you're going to get the call. We're just going to let him feel it out. If he can go, great. He'll come off the bench and he'll support you. And if he can't go, well, then, you know, you're already in that starting spot. And I just think mentally that does something to a guy just to have kind of that full day, full 24 hours to prepare, as opposed to am I not? And it just gets even more locked in. And you could tell, I mean, this guy has worked so hard, right? I mean, he's worked, we've seen for 4 years, and, you know, it was his second start of the season, but his previous start was only 8 minutes. And then to find his other start before that, you had to go back to 2020, January 1st, 2020. That's a second start in 4 years with what this guy has overcome and gone through with the injuries and everything. And I can't imagine the emotions he had when he finally got home yesterday and everything sat in and sunk in, and he's sitting there thinking about, you know, the first injury back in 2020 all the way till now, and all those hard days of working his way back. But I thought what was cool of Wendell, he was scheduled to come in about the 4 minute mark of the second quarter, and that's right when the magic were everywhere. Isaac came over and swatted a shot from nowhere, and Wendell looked at coach and said, "He's rolling, keep him in there." I thought that was great. You know, guys want to play, guys want to get in there, and then when Wendell got in there, you know, he was exceptional. He was exceptional. Fought for an offensive rebound, dunked it in, hit a little jumper, knocked down a three. I mean, he had 7 quick points just like that. So everybody clicked on all cylinders. But this goes back to Coach Mosley, the way they all genuinely enjoy and cheer for each other and support each other. It's just great to watch.
I think that gets lost in the shuffle before we praise the two big guys. I think Mo Wagner had some good buckets in that first half.
Yes.
They needed those buckets. They did. He is a great, great piece of that second unit. But let's go here with Dante Marcatelli. How big was Paolo Banchero, especially in that first half, and then Franz Wagner in that second half?
Well, Paolo was great. And what Paolo has done kind of the last couple games on that road trip was kind of worked his way into it, kind of facilitate, get guys going. He still had big games. He still stuffs the stat sheet. But he's kind of taken his time getting into it to try to make sure everyone was involved. None of that yesterday. I mean, he still passed. He still rebounded. He still did everything. But he decided he was going to be a bucket getter. And he did that right from the opening tip. And that aggression was exactly what you needed. And I thought it was great. Brian Hill on our pregame show broke it down. He gave like a pep talk, a talk that he would have given to his team if he was coaching this big game. And he used the word aggression. And then he broke out the Webster's Dictionary meaning. Disposition to dominate was what he said. That was like a theme. The theme throughout the entire broadcast. And that's exactly what Paolo had right from the opening tip. He's like, "I'm going to dominate this basketball game." And Franz, too, he just missed. He started 0-for-5, Franz, in that game, but then kind of took a break, as he does right around the 6-7 minute mark. And then when he came back in at the end of the first quarter, he was on fire. He couldn't be stopped from then on. So he finishes with 25 points too. They combined for 51 points. Your biggest game of the year, biggest game of both of their careers. You got the best defensive effort this team has had all season, and you got one of the best games that those two players have played all season long. So it came at the right time. It was great.
Did you like the MVP chance for Paolo?
Oh, I love it. I love the MVP chance. I love the play the song chance, right, that happened with about a minute left. I love that. I love the connection that this team has with the fans. I mean, you see Jalen Suggs. I mean, I literally worry that his head might explode during a playoff game because he brings so much energy. And Mo Wagner, too. Like, once you get to the pressure and the magnitude of a playoff game, I can't even imagine what those guys are going to be experiencing. But they have a connection with the fans and a bond. Jalen Suggs will make a play and then high-five fans sitting there courtside. But it was Cole Anthony that had a steal yesterday and then broke away for a dunk. And it was right after Franz just did it.
Yeah.
It was back-to-back steals that led to a dunk. And fast break points were 25-0 in favor of the Magic. I mean, that was incredible. But as soon as Cole dunked it, Jalen saw the timeout and sprinted out to midcourt and gave him a big chest bump. I mean, the emotion that these guys play with and the fire that they have is awesome. And that crowd was just electric last night. So I think it's – I can't – we haven't got the schedule yet, but I can't even wait to see what that's going to look like at Kia Center for a playoff game. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Okay, the other play that gets lost in the shuffle is – Patrick Beverley, who's kind of a pest. I mean, he's found his niche in the NBA, what he's going to do.
No question.
And he kind of wants to bully a younger team. And there was kind of a scuffle on the floor with Jalen Suggs. And there was kind of this feeling of, no, you're not going to push us around. This ain't going to work here. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. And he ripped the ball away. I mean, listen, they don't back down from anyone. And Pat Beverley, you know, he's a guy that's made some comments, and everyone is well aware on that Magic team, the comments that he made, you know, about Paolo and Franz, and, you know, these guys can't be all-stars and superstars if their team doesn't even make the playoffs. Those were his comments at the start of the season. And believe me, anything that's said about this group finds its way back. These guys, and that's with every team. These guys are all over social media. They devour all that stuff. So that certainly was out there. And credit to Pat Beverley. He went right to Twitter yesterday and said that Magic team is fun. They're good, and congrats on making the playoffs, which I thought was pretty cool. And then Doc Rivers before the game said Pat Beverley's a guy that makes both coaches nervous as soon as you put him in the game because you don't know what you're going to get. But listen, that team was loaded with veterans, guys like Beverley. How about Bobby Portis? I mean, this guy's just otherworldly right now. The guy couldn't miss. But there's vets that talk trash to you, that are in your ear the entire game, that are trying to disrupt your rhythm, and it can be intimidating for a young group. And yesterday it wasn't at all. They weren't having any of it.
You know what's really cool?
I think, Mark, the team that ended up being the most intimidated was Milwaukee and anyone that had the ball when Jonathan Isaac was on the floor. I mean, he covered everybody. He covered so much ground. He gets stuck on one-on-one matchups, and now it's 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and Chris Middleton has the ball, turns around for his little patented jumper, and Isaac's arm is right there, and he had to pass it. I mean, he has suffocating defense on every single player. So you can put him on Donovan Mitchell at times if you need to. You can put him on Garland. He'll certainly guard Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. I mean, you just have so much flexibility with this guy who started about 10, 12 minutes a game at the start of the season, and yesterday he was at 27. That's the most he's played in the game all year. So if you can get 28, 30 minutes out of him every game in the playoffs, wow. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. This is the best defensive player in the NBA.
I just want to say this real quick. We're here with Dante Marcatelli. I came early, and I sat courtside and watched Joe Ingles and Jonathan Isaac shoot jumpers for 20 straight minutes. And it was cool to just watch him. Same rotation. Gary Harris is out there. Same rotation with that shot every single time. And then it was cool during the game. You see Isaac hit a corner three. And you're like, I just watched him hit that. And then Joe Ingles with that three, the dagger to go up 30. Man, that place was popping yesterday when he hit that.
That place was popping. And listen, that's what they need. This team has not shot the three well all year. It's no secret. I think they started 1-for-7 yesterday. It's no surprise, no secret that they just don't have consistent three-point shooting. But now that Isaac's been back and he's taking more and hitting more, it's top 4 three-point percentage on your roster. I mean, so that's been a huge revelation. And Joe Ingles, you know, we all joke about Grandpa Joe at 36 years old. Now, he shot 43% from three this year. I mean, that's a huge number. That's going to be enormous in a playoff setting when you got to make shots. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, those guys hitting shots. And, you know, Gary's kind of struggled the last week of the season. But there's just something different about the playoffs. You got to think about this too, Mark. There's 18 players on NBA rosters now, right? Because you can have a third two-way guy. So every team has 15 guys and then 3 two-way guys. So of the 18 players on the Magic, there's 4 players that have ever been to a playoff game. 4. 4 players. I mean, it's got to be one of the fewest, maybe for OKC, who's about to get into the postseason. But you got 50 for Joe Ingles, and then you got about 25, 28 for Gary Harris. I mean, that's the bulk of your playoff experience. And then you've got 8 games for Markel, and you've got 5 for Jonathan Isaac. Those are your 4 players that have any idea what they're about to experience in a postseason. So what a great experience and opportunity for this young group.
All right, let's go to Cleveland. Game 1 is Saturday. What do you think of this 7-game series, Dante?
Well, my mind goes back to 2009, right? 15 years ago when the Magic were not supposed to have any chance, right? And Dwight Howard and the Magic were showing up on LeBron James and a Cavs team that had won 60 games, by far best record in the NBA, and the Magic smacked them in the mouth and took game one. Would have taken game 2 if LeBron didn't hit a miracle shot at the buzzer, right? And then beat them 4-2. It's just absolutely incredible. Incredible series. So my mind goes to anything's possible. That's first and foremost, right? Because nobody gave Orlando a shot. That was supposed to be the series where we had Kobe against LeBron. And they had been talking about it for months, right? But the Magic messed that up. So I think they have to believe that they can win. And they did beat them twice. So each team has won on the other's home floor. It was a 4-game series. They finished 2 games apiece. One win for the Magic was at Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, and then Cleveland beat Orlando in Orlando without some of its key players. So now having both teams full strength, I think it's going to be a great series. I obviously have to contend with Donovan Mitchell. That's a guy that's capable of getting 40 a game in the postseason, but he's had some postseason struggles, and then he's had some series where you absolutely can't touch him, and he's been electric, almost 40 points a game. So everything starts and stops with Donovan Mitchell. Darius Garland, more than capable backup. There's a lot of similarities from Cleveland to Orlando with the length that they have, with the great defensive capability that they have. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley are just incredible defenders. And they've been all season long one of the best defensive teams, top five defense in the NBA. So that's something that they're going to have to contend with. But I don't know how 100% Donovan Mitchell is. He's been battling a knee injury all year. He's been battling a nasal fracture. He's been having to wear a mask at times. So he's going to be banged up, but everybody is this time of year. So it's just it's kind of going to be a battle of wills. Mark, if we defend like we did yesterday, and if we defend like we did for that seven-minute stretch at the end of the second quarter, they can beat anybody. And I'm talking about Boston. I'm talking about Philly. I'm talking about whoever's going to come their way. If they can sustain that level of defense for an entire game, for an entire series, they can beat anybody. It's just going to come down to shot-making. But I think they've got a great shot to win this series. Certainly be competitive, win a couple of games at home for sure. But I think they got a very good chance to be competitive and win this series.
I agree with you from the standpoint, I don't trust any team in the East from seed 2 to 8 or maybe to 10.
Right.
I don't trust them. My thing is, like, if we're going to be real, the guards on Cleveland are better than the guards on Orlando. If I'm just going the matchups, old school,
sure.
You know,
offensively, defensively, not the case, but right. For sure. Offensively.
Franz and Paolo are better. The front court for the Magic is better. And then Isaac and Wendell Carter Jr. I just think they're better on Orlando. Not having home court, I think hurts Orlando. Cause what did they win? 29 games this year at home, tying a franchise.
Correct.
What is it? Third best all time. Dude,
yes.
I mean, you were at these games last week where you lose to Houston, Milwaukee, Philly. I still have concerns on the road. How about you?
Well, I don't because I just don't think they – I think there's a lot of factors that went into that road trip. I don't think they kind of ramped it up and had the right intensity until Philly, the last game of that trip. And then you're tired, 3 games in 4 nights, and they just didn't have it. And I don't think they had the right approach for the first 2 games. I just don't think they brought it and really understood how important those games were. They gave up 119 points in each of those 3 games. That was the average in that 3-game road trip. Prior to that, I mean, they were one of the best defensive road teams in the NBA. So they've got it in them, but for whatever reason, they just kind of let go of the rope a little bit on that 3-game road trip. Well, whatever happened, they found it again here yesterday at Kia Center, understanding the importance of that game. And, you know, maybe not fully understanding how many games they still had to win to get in. I think that might have been part of it, too. And they certainly understood what they needed to do on yesterday. But defense travels. You can't control whether you make shots, and you can't control, a lot of those factors. But you can control your attitude. You can control your effort. And if you go in there with the mindset, we're going to outwork them no matter what, then that's what they always do. They always us against the road mentality. And that's going to keep you in games. That's going to keep them in every single game in this series. And then it just comes down to, can you make shots? Can you make timely stops? And can you make shots? They're going to be rattled, Mark. There's no question about it. That first game is absolutely going to rattle them. They're going to be shell-shocked. I mean, you can hear Joe Ingles tell stories all you want about the playoffs. But until you get there, you know, it's a whole other animal. You know, and don't discount the fact that Joe Ingles played 4 years with Donovan Mitchell in Utah. Like, how much fun is that going to be, right? So maybe there's any kind of insight or whatever he can do to help out would certainly be key. And then both losses to Cleveland, it was the first quarter that got them. The Magic were down 17 in one game and 18 in the other in the first quarter, and then beat them the rest of the game. So they've been shell-shocked and got hit hard in the first quarter in their losses. If they can avoid that, they're right. I mean, this is going to be a very evenly matched series.
Let's end with this. I think yesterday was the biggest game I've ever been to at the Kia Center. I've been to a playoff game, but I think that was the biggest game. Here's how I knew it. So for our listeners, we're here with Dante Marcatelli. When you're with the media, you have to come through this security entrance on the other side of the building. So I'm going through security And I'm talking to Lewis, who does a great job with credentials. And he's signing me in. And all of a sudden, Doc Rivers shows up. I'm like, what? What's going on here? And Doc Rivers, he shows up, and he's like the greatest politician of all time. The nicest guy.
Yes,
and he's like, he's like, hey, I just want to thank everyone for all their hard work. I know you guys work really hard trying to get everyone ready for the game. And he walked around. He shook everyone's hand. So I shake Doc's hand. I go, hey, good luck in the playoffs, coach. He goes, thanks. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be
great.
Yeah. I was like, this is going to be an interesting day. And it was.
How funny is that?
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's a guy that, and it was pretty ironic. There were so many similarities. You got to, for Magic fans that go back to the Heart and Hustle team in 99, 2000,
yeah.
Doc Rivers was the coach of that team. And the second to last game of the year, they had to win. That's the team that won 41 games. 41-41 for a team that was predicted to win 12 games, right? a bunch of cast-offs from other teams that nobody wanted. Ben Wallace, Bo Outlaw, Darrell Armstrong, right? All the before they were the big names that they are now. And Doc Rivers was coaching that team. Second to last game of the year, they had to win to get in. They had to beat at home the Milwaukee Bucks, ironically enough.
Huh.
And they ended up losing. Second to last game of the year, a Chucky Atkins three that was halfway down rolls around and falls off the rim. Otherwise, they would have won, and then the last game of the year wouldn't have mattered. They ended up winning the last game to get to 41 wins. But Darrell Armstrong, Bo Outlaw, laying on the court crying after that game. I mean, all those memories are like it just happened yesterday. And Doc actually mentioned it in the pregame show. He's like, you know, ironically, you know, now I'm coaching the team that broke our hearts. He said, one of my top one or two favorite teams I've ever coached. So he mentioned that. So I think up until yesterday, I think that was your biggest game in franchise history in a regular season game. It was that game that came down to the Magic or Bucks, the winner is going to go to the playoffs, and they lost. And that has been forever ingrained in everybody's mind. They had a big game in Boston that they won and clinched a playoff berth in 2019, but if they lost that, they could have won the next game at Charlotte and still got in. So that wasn't kind of as much do or die. So to your point, I mean, that was one of, if not the biggest, regular season games in franchise history. It was pretty special for everyone that was there yesterday.
His name is Dante Marcatelli with Magic Radio and TV. He will be on the call next week. Him, David Steele, Jeff Turner, they all do a great job. And I hope you're getting ready for me to pester you because I want a long playoff run. All right?
So, Let's go. Hit me up anytime. I'd love to talk to you. Yeah, we can't wait. Game one, we know will be Saturday. We just don't know times. We don't know games after that. And we don't know. You can kind of guess and do the math, and you would think next weekend is when we would be back in Orlando for game three, maybe Friday or Saturday. But as soon as that schedule comes out, it's going to be awesome. Get your tickets. Come to Kia Center. And you know, there'll be watch parties everywhere for the road games. We're really excited.
And Bally Sports, you guys will have the first round playoff games, right?
Well, yes. Their ABC does have exclusive windows. So if it's depending on certain times of the day, but you know, those are typically. Yeah, I don't know that Orlando and Cleveland would be on their radar. It's you'd typically try to get LeBron in there and Steph Curry and Boston Celtics, and since we didn't draw any of those teams, I would think we'd be safe. So there are exclusivities, but yes, every single game that we are allowed to broadcast, we will broadcast on Bally Sports Florida for sure.
Dante Marcatelli, thanks for your help and good luck in the playoffs.
Okay, Mark, let's talk playoff basketball anytime. This is fun. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.